We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Now, from Learfield.
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. Here is your host, Dave Hunziker.
This is the Cowboy Radio Network Insider Podcast. The first of 2018-2019 is the season opener is coming up. Oklahoma State and Missouri State. Dave Hunziker here, Robert Allen alongside. It's interesting how I feel going into this season because the last 2 years especially, you really knew exactly what you had. And you knew how you were going to go about your business each week. Now, there's so much new, you sort of know. But for me, I'm just interested to watch it in action and see what it looks like. Probably more, I feel more that way this year than I have since probably 2010. I'm not comparing the teams, but 2010 was kind of a season of intrigue. I'm in that same place. I don't know where you are.
Yeah, I think there's two great mysteries that we're going to get to watch unfold. One will be Taylor Cornelius at quarterback. I mean, and is it a great mystery? I don't know if it's as mysterious to you and I and to the coaches.
But it is for our fans, I think.
It is for the fans, definitely. And what I've noticed is going back to the bowl game, practices last year before the Camping World Bowl with Virginia Tech, you know, Mike Gundy and Mike Yurcich, you know, let us in on it. And we were at practice, so we saw it, that they were going to give Mason Rudolph an extensive rest during the early portion of the bowl practices. And they were going to devote a lot of those reps to Taylor Cornelius because they needed to get a refresher course on exactly what they had in Taylor before they advanced with plans toward this season. What Taylor showed him in the bowl practices and then what he showed him again in spring football was a guy that, as Mike Gundy has said several times, really good in the bullpen or really good on the driving range, and we just don't know about on the mound in a game or on the first tee, but everything else looks good. So, you just have to pass that test of playing in games and proving that you're not going to come unglued. Or as we'll mention in the pregame on Saturday, I had a different way of putting it when I asked Taylor Cornelius about if he was mentally in line and ready to go for this. But here's that, it is a mystery to the fans. And you know what? I have found myself because, you know, you tell me all the time and I'm in that, unenviable spot of doing a daily talk show on radio that you are really happy you don't have to do.
You darn straight.
And I've noticed myself bragging on Taylor, and then.
Oh, I haven't. And things I've done.
But here's the deal. At the end, I've kind of backed off now and said, look, I can say all I want about what I've seen of him in practice, bowl practices, spring practice, and now fall camp. But you know what? It doesn't count until the fans see what Taylor Cornelius can do. So there's one great mystery. And then the other great mystery, and I'm really excited about this, and people have to understand, and I'll make this a quick story. Glenn Spencer's a good friend. I mean, he's a good friend of yours.
Sure,
he's
absolutely.
A very good friend of mine, and such a good friend that back when he lost his wife after the 2011 season and we got into the next year, and he showed some interest in a friend of mine in the media that I knew really well, and Janine Edwards, that, I mean, I kind of played a little bit of Cupid there because I really love Janine as a person. I really love Glenn Spencer. Well, now they're married, and Glenn's a good friend.
Sure.
But I'll be honest, and you know what? You can vouch for me on this. There are times during games, and we talk a lot. You guys, I wish we could let you in on the commercial breaks and the conversations that go on there.
Now, I don't know if that's such a good idea.
But it's probably not a good idea for our relationship with coaches and so, because we're like any other fans. During the commercial breaks, we kind of, hey, I don't like that, And there have been times, and you can vouch, I don't like exactly what Glenn has wanted to do on defense. But you know what? One thing's for certain, in the Big 12, if you're a defensive coordinator, it has the potential of causing you to do crazy things.
Well, Mike Gundy said on the radio show, it was really interesting, Tuesday night, or Monday night rather, that he gave Glenn Spencer credit for the work he'd done and said, it was interesting that he said this openly. I don't know that he said this publicly or not. I don't remember it. But he said he was just worn out, and we knew that. He was worn out by coaching in the Big 12 and the wear and tear and all that. But let's talk about what's going on now.
Well, we bring in a healthy human being
fresh
defensive
meat.
Coordinator.
We have fresh meat.
And in fact, it was kind of funny because we'll relay a lot more information that we got during the meeting on Thursday. But when we met with the coordinators and we were meeting with Jim Knowles, he was kind of giving his impression of some of his opinions from a distance of the officiating.
Oh yes,
in the
that
Big
was
12 and how it favors, how it tends to favor the offense. And let's remember, the Big 12. I think it may be a little different now because we do have a new supervisor. Walt Anderson's from the NFL, and in the NFL, what do they say about the officials? Everything slants to offense.
Yes.
Offense sells tickets. And that was Walt's day job. Now it's his full-time job because he's in the NFL full-time, and we have a new coordinator of officials in the Big 12. But remember, which league was the first one to add the center judge to speed up
Big 12.
The Big 12. The Big 12 has always catered to offense. And so that's the opinion Jim Knowles has, and I'm not sure we did anything to belay that, other than he likes the fact that they don't call holding on either side in this conference.
Yes, yeah, because he was concerned about that when we talked to him a little bit.
But he is. He's a fresh, opinionated, has a different system. I'm just anxious to see what it does because it is a system that if you give Calvin Bundage, if you give Darian Daniels, Jordan Brailford, Kenneth Edison Magruder, A.J. Green, if you give any of those guys, you can play this style of defense with this philosophy, or you can play this style of defense with this philosophy. Jim Knowles is more aggressive. The players are going to side for aggressive. Players want to be aggressive. And so what they're doing right now should be fun for them. I'm anxious to see how it works against the Big 12. I don't know that we'll learn a whole lot on Thursday night.
Right.
But give us a little time. We're going to learn a lot. And that is a big mystery to play out.
Well, the way to describe it to me with his approach is, his belief is pretty simply, you fight fire with fire. And that offensively, teams are aggressive. Teams are taking deep shots. The continuing evolution and development of run-pass option concepts that continue to grow, and you just basically, in his mind, say, well, we're just going to come, if you're going to do that, then we're just going to come after you. And I think offenses have improved to the point where 8-9 years ago, I think the thought process in many cases was, and Bill Young subscribed to this, and he had success doing it, was, you know what, college offenses aren't good enough. 12, 13 plays, they're going to screw up. We're going to tighten things up in the red zone, tighten things up inside the 30, and then they'll stop themselves to some extent. I think offense has progressed so much, Robert, I don't know if that's true anymore. Do you agree with that? I don't think it's true anymore.
Well, you can look at the Oklahoma State offense as an example. That group doesn't turn the ball. It's had fits. Justice Hill's first game really as a primary running back at Baylor. He turned the ball over a couple of key times. Mason was always good in touchdown to interception ratio, except for Bedlam last year. He got off the rails a little bit and made some poor decisions. But I think you're right. I think the offense is, it's like Mike Gundy said, he expects this offense. I heard him on the coach's show earlier with you this week. He expects this offense to run even smoother this year, even with a new quarterback in play, because he's been around, has a lot of reps, and he feels the offense gets better every year when it's in the same system. And there's something to be said for that. I will say this. People want to know, you gave a good synopsis of what Jim Knowles said, the fighting fire with fire. I'm going to give our fans right now, and we'll again get deeper into this on Thursday in the pregame. I keep wanting to say Saturday.
Nope, I understand.
By the way, today's Thursday. Did you know that? Today's Thursday.
Don't go there.
I know.
You're going to drive people nuts.
Because you guys could be hearing this podcast on Wednesday, which is Friday. You never know.
Stop. Okay. Stop it. Yeah,
Here's the deal. I'll give you a Big 12 comparison. Jim Knowles' defense, what is it? Maybe not Thursday night against Missouri State, but by the time we get midway and beyond into the season, I think you'll be able to say it's Gary Patterson's 4-2-5 on steroids.
Ooh, interesting.
Do you agree?
I think so.
I mean, Gary Patterson, we've already always kidded about him being aggressive. I'm going to blitz and I'm going to play man on the outside. And you know, if you can beat me, if your guys can beat me, then you can beat me. And that's Gary Patterson. He's stubborn. Well, this guy, yeah. He's going to come after you, and he may come after you a little bit more than Gary.
Well, one thing to keep in mind as you watch this year, and Coach Gundy addressed this, we talked about this for quite a while on the radio show Tuesday, is that personnel-wise, you're not really built to run his system. And looking at that just very simplistically, you know, it's a three-safety defense. It's a 4-2-5. You know, so you really haven't – you don't have the proper people at safety. He talked last night, and that being Monday, about, you know, you need those, you know, 210-pound guys that can really run and are, you know, multiple in what they can do. And it's just a different-looking guy that you may have at certain positions. And again, it's you're taking a linebacker out of the equation, and now you have an extra safety. And so the prototypical guys for the spots, especially I would say probably at the safety position, but it may change even at the two linebacker spots. It's different, isn't it? And maybe even on the D line to some extent. You got to have big time pass rushers, I think. But you know, it's going to take time. And Oklahoma State has some big time pass rushers. I think they've got potentially a really good defensive line, but it's going to take time to get everything organized recruiting wise to get exactly what you need to fit the system. So There may be a couple bumps in the road as you get to that point.
You going to have a little debate?
Why, you don't think that's the case?
I do depth-wise. But if, and again, big if, stay healthy and all that, you take the first secondary, okay? And we know, because Coach Gundy said it last week, A.J. and Rodarius, you know, well, A.J. got banged up. Rodarius, his was kind of precautionary. They kept him out of practices. That doesn't bother me for two reasons. One, I'm of the Coach Gundy concept. The less that you burn these guys' energy in August, the more they're likely to have in November. And, you know, I think – and you also got the backup players, which we'll talk about this with Jim Knowles on the Thursday pregame. You got them a lot of snaps, and so you probably got better there, whether you think that or not. You at least gave those younger guys at corner more repetitions. Okay, but if I look at A.J. and Rodarius, they're a year hardened.
Yeah.
They're both good size. They're the bigger type corner that you want. They're both athletic. Both were track guys. AJ at DeSoto and Rodarius in high school was a track guy as well. So I think they're a good fit. Then I look at the safeties, and this is where we could really get into a debate, because I'll give you that you could debate this. We had this conversation with Coach Knowles before the spring game. Malcolm Rodriguez does not look prototypically like, and I should look at his height and weight. I think his height and weight, let's look here.
Well, you can look. I'm trying. Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Where is
Malcolm
it?
Rodriguez.
Malcolm Rodriguez, 6 foot 205. Pretty close. Okay. But he looks like, and even Coach Knowles agreed with us in the spring, he looks like a wrestler. I brought it up, and Coach Knowles,
he was a wrestler.
Well, he was. He won a state championship in wrestling. But here's the deal. He was also the shortstop on the baseball team. He was also a three-year unbeaten quarterback at Wagner.
Great athlete.
And when the track coach said, I think it was a high jumper. I need a high jumper. They pulled him out there, and he won the district in high jump. So this kid's tremendously athletic. He's going to play your strong safety. He also, we saw it in special teams last year, he A, knows how to tackle, and B, loves to tackle. In fact, he played safety as well as quarterback at Wagner and had 7 picks and close to 300 tackles in his high school career. That's a lot. So I like him a lot. He may not look the part per se, but I like him. Kenneth Edison Magruder, I love a kid that sacrifices. He went from star linebacker to the free safety.
And this
position,
has been good for him.
Which is the Rover, and dropped weight. Well, you know what? Me, of all people, knows it's hard to drop weight. It is. And that's a sacrifice. Kenneth Edison Magruder sacrificed to play this position, and I think he's pretty good at it. Plus, he gives you that senior presence back there, which I think is important. And then Tabo Wanicki's the strike, which is the hybrid corner safety, which is going to do a lot of coverage. And we saw him last year. I mean, he was so good at this. He played as a true freshman. So now, once you get past those starting three, I don't know. None of us know. There's going to be freshmen involved.
Yeah.
There's guys we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I love Jarek Bernard in the spring, but again, it's a big graduation to go from spring to in season.
Okay, one last subject as we wrap things up, and then tune in for the pregame show at 5 o'clock on Thursday. No, you're all right. I don't care. Fans like it. So, I want to get excited about this team because I think there's potential there that maybe most don't see yet. Taylor Cornelius, we've talked about him. He's one example of it. I think the defensive line might be really good. Maybe. Has a chance to be. However, there's a lot of guys who haven't played a lot in prominent roles. Again, Cornelius comes immediately to mind. How much of the inexperience tax will this team have to pay? Or could the inexperienced tax be forgiven because you start with 4 at home, a road game at Kansas, and home for Iowa State, to where you are forgiven the inexperienced tax? What do you think? Because most teams early on will pay that tax. That's what happened in 2012 at Arizona.
Well, and not only that, but let's talk about the opponents. Missouri State, South Alabama with a new coach. You know, basically, Missouri State is going to be your easiest opponent. South Alabama with a new coach, better athletes, not a Power Five, but a Group of Five team. That's probably your second. I mean, so you're stair stepping into this thing.
Then you're going.
Then you jump into the deep end of the pool with Boise. So it's a perfect schedule.
It is,
in that you stair step your way into it and you do it all at home. Absolutely, I think that when it's funny when you said the experience tax or lack of
inexperience tax.
And you mentioned Taylor Cornelius. The first thing I thought of, because it's really the last thing we discussed in our meeting with Mike Yurcich, my immediate thought was Arlington Hambright at left tackle. Because I asked enthusiastically. I mean, this is kind of what goes on in these meetings sometimes. I asked enthusiastically, I said, Coach, what do you think of Arlington Hambright? Well, I've liked him in the fall. And Mike Yurcich leans back and goes, we'll see. We'll see. Now he's the offensive coordinator and I'm the sideline reporter. There's a little less of that at stake for me than there
Understood.
Is for him. So, but yeah, and here's the other thing too. I want to go back real quickly to the defense because I painted a pretty picture. Aggressive guys want to play it. I like the front line guys in the secondary. You mentioned the defensive line. Hey, Justin Phillips and Calvin Bundage, and Bundage is built for the role he's going to play in this thing. But here's the deal. Cowboy fans, you've had a defensive coordinator the last several years that it may not have looked like it at times had a governor on the defense. He had a little bit of an umbrella back there to,
right.
Oh, man, we don't want to get beat by big plays. And as a result, you've been frustrated because there have been too many third down conversions and can't get off the field. All right, here's the deal. This new guy may get you off the field more. Jim Knowles wants to fight every down, wants to do all that stuff. He may get you off the field more, but there may be more home runs hit by the offense against your defense because being ultra aggressive leaves you wide open in some places at times. And there'll be some offensive coordinators, as you mentioned, will be good enough to figure it out.
Oh,
so,
it'll be, yeah.
But
it'll be fun.
But that goes back to the mystery of all this.
I know.
We get to play this out. And here's the other thing, because I went to Big 12 Media Days down in Frisco. I've kept tabs and studied the league pretty good. Folks, this is a perfect year to have the kind of mysteries and the kind of scenario that Oklahoma State has, because just about everybody else in the league has similar scenarios. I mean, this is – I don't see a complete football team anywhere in the Big 12 right now, and that means this will be a competitive bang it out. The league champ this year may have two losses.
Oh, with just a couple of minor things happening, this could be a complete free-for-all in the Big 12. It won't take much for that to be the case.
Two teams go to Arlington to play for the championship. I got news for you. I'll be shocked. Last year it didn't happen. This year I'll be shocked if both of the positions, and you only have one tiebreaker. I'm going to bet tiebreaker gets played in this somewhere, either with the top spot and the top two breaking that as maybe a three-way tie, or the top team in the league, but there's a tie for second, and they have to break that with a tiebreaker, which is head-to-head in this league.
Oh, and on that compelling note, we will...
Hey, it's going to be fun.
It will be fun. No, tiebreakers always scare me. As long as it's head-to-head, then I'm cool with it.
Well, so, in this league, it is head-to-head because everybody plays everybody.
Yeah, so. And of course, if it's two teams, then you can go head-to-head and look at it. And if you get more than two teams,
I think you may get one of those three teams. I think it could be crazy.
It could be. All right, we'll get after it Thursday. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, I can't wait. We'll be here with bells on.
Yes, that's Robert Allen. I'm Dave Huntzeiker on the air at 5 on Thursday for the Cowboys and Missouri State, and we'll kick just after 7. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.